Good morning and welcome to First Christian Church. It is Easter Sunday and we are so happy that you are all here to celebrate it with us. Celebrate the day that the Lord has risen. Please silence your cell phones as we prepare to worship and listen to the song by the choir. A lovely start to our Easter morning. Okay. If you could, please sign the friendship sheet located at the end of your pew, pass it down, and then pass it back when you're done. The announcement, thank you so much to Dennis Baker for stepping up for Easter services today. Reverend McBride was unexpectedly called back to Alamogordo for an emergency with her father. I think Charles will have an announcement about that later. Next Sunday, Reverend Bob McNamara will be our pulpit guest. And then Reverend McBride leads a monthly small group the first Monday of each month called the Circle of Caring. It's a support group for those who live with the pressure of being a caregiver for a family member, and they offer grief support for those who have lost a spouse or other close family. Registrations are due to the church office by April 11th for youth summer camp. Physicals are required, so plan ahead. If you have any questions, contact Carmen Goodman. And Vacation Bible School, yay, will be held July 28th on Casper Mountain. The Christian Education Commission meeting will have a meeting on April 9th at 7 p.m. Anybody interested in helping, please come. It should be a really fun day. The kids really enjoy it. Okay, any other announcements? Charles.
progress, and she wants to please pass on her thanks for all of your wishes and prayers, and a happy Easter.
Are there any other announcements? Okay. If you could all please stand and greet those around you, and then it's a little different than normal. Stand and greet those around you, and then we'll do the call to worship. Thank you.
Good morning.
Please join me for the call to worship. Okay. Out of the darkness of grief and despair comes a message of hope. We run to the tomb to see for ourselves, and it is true.
Christ is risen indeed.
We hear a voice call our name, and we know our risen Lord is with us now and always.
Christ is risen indeed. Thanks be to God.
Please join me in prayer. Loving Father, we gather to celebrate your presence with us, to offer you our praise and our prayers, our love, and our obedience. Through the gift of your own Spirit, you abide with us and in us. We rejoice in your love for us and in the life we have been given through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. Open our eyes to recognize your presence here among us. Open our hearts to love that you have for us. Open our minds to the truth you would reveal to us. We pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose death and resurrection we find life. It's in your blessed name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Please be seated. Today we are only going to sing the first of the hymns of praise, Christ the Lord is Risen Today, your hymnal number 216, verses 1 through 4.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our prayers for the people this morning, we'll start with a card shower for Tommy Dobson, that is Pastor Cynthia's father. As Charles told you, he is improving health, is a blessing from God, so we are thankful for that. But please take out a card and write him a little note saying that you're thinking about him. I'm sure he would appreciate those cards from his church family up in Wyoming, as would Pastor Cynthia. One thing Charles didn't tell you about was that She was with her dad in the ICU, and they were going to take out the drain in that. And so you can't use talk on your cell phone in the ICU. So she was texting, and she texted that they were going to take out the drain, and it autocorrected and said, well, they're going to take out his brain. And so even the Lord has a little bit of a sense of humor to bring to care during that time period. We are blessed this morning to see Chuck and Susie Stewart back in our congregation. Chuck went to Salt Lake City and had some surgery this week. I believe the surgery was a success. And we are so thankful that they've been able to travel safely and be back amongst us. And we welcome you back with open arms, and we'll continue to pray for comfort and healing for you. Carol Sage had double knee replacement surgery on Thursday. She is doing well. She is home. I texted her last night because I'm afraid to call her. And that because she told me she didn't want anybody coming by, seeing her, calling her, and she didn't want anybody dropping a flower by. And she made that explicit to both Kathy and to me. But she did let me know that she is home. She is tired, but she's doing well. So she appreciates all the prayers and for healing and comfort. So again, thank you, and keep her in your prayers. Elaine Umbaugh is in Wyoming Medical Center. She suffered a stroke last week, and so she is in Wyoming Medical Center. She is in room 649. So please keep her in your prayers for healing and comfort as they work through the effects of the stroke. We had a request for prayers this morning for people who are traveling. That will be leaving. Right now, we're going to be 52, 54, and probably by 3 o'clock this afternoon after everybody finishes their Easter dinner, we could probably have 3 feet of snow on the ground, given what Wyoming gives us. But prayers for safe travel for all those who are traveling this Easter weekend. So are there other prayer requests that we might have? Joys to share? I'll share a joy. Thank you all for being here. Becky.
My friend Sandra was diagnosed with pulmonary fibrosis.
Okay, so prayers for comfort and healing from the pulmonary site. What'd you say?
Pulmonary fibrosis.
Fibrosis. Others? Mike? That's a blessing in itself. Linda.
I want to thank you for being here. Standing up there, just wonderful. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Tom. Okay, so prayers for healing for Tom, as well as patience while he waits for a couple weeks to heal up.
Yeah, I'd like to pray for my wife. She's suffering from insomnia, and that's a problem.
Okay. Seeing none others, let us pray. O glorious God, We're so very thankful to be able to come and celebrate this Easter day with you. We're blessed with the sunshine, with the young children, with those who have seen more than 90 years. We ask you to be with Tommy Dobson as he continues to heal and give the doctors guidance as they move forward in determining his next plan of attack for his health. God, we are thankful for the successful surgery for Carol Sage and for Chuck Stewart. Please continue to watch over them and provide healing and comfort and patience as they go through the process. Lord, we ask you to be with all those who can't be with us today, whether for health concerns or because of their age. We ask that you shine your light upon them so they know that you are with them always. God, you have given us so much. We appreciate everything that you have done, and we rejoice in your name. In Jesus' name, amen. So this week I was pondering about doing the invitation to communion, and of course, every time I begin to ponder, that usually means I get hungry. So I got to thinking about, you know, it seems like about every restaurant I go to, whether it's down home cooking like a Sherry's restaurant or a Texas Roadhouse, or a macaroni grill, or some fancy restaurant that's expensive, and that. Usually, one of the first things they always bring me is bread. And then they usually either give me a glass of water, or they ask me what I'd like to drink. So I got to thinking about that. Well, why is that? You know, did somebody just decide up and decide, is like, oh, I think I'll start serving a roll with everybody? In that. I don't know. But then I got to thinking about it, and I thought, you know what? Bread is comfort food. You know, as a realtor, we sometimes tell our clients, works real well if you're trying to sell your home, to bake a loaf of bread right before you're going to have a showing, or bake some cookies so that when people walk into the home, they smell that flavor of that bread or those cookies that have been freshly baked. It makes them feel warm and comfortable inside the home. So then I got to thinking, the bread and the cup is our comfort food. You see, the bread nourishes our soul. We understand that Jesus died for our sins, and that represents his body. And the cup quenches our thirst for his love. I tell you today that there is no greater comfort food than what you'll find in those trays today. Our hymn of communion is number 222, Christ is risen, shout Hosanna.
you may recall, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread and, having given thanks, said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, and also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood, or new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray.
Thank you, God, for life in the Spirit of Jesus, for gladness in this bread and cup, for love that cannot die, for peace the world cannot give, for joy in the company of friends, for the splendor of creation, and for the mission of justice you have made our own. Give us the gifts of this Holy Communion, oneness of heart, love for neighbors, forgiveness of enemies, the will to serve you every day, and risen life that never ends. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
As disciples of Christ, we participate in God's mission in over 85 countries around the world, joining with global partners, regions, and congregations in receiving and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in working for justice, reconciliation, and peace. Foundational to our participation in living out God's mission are the core values of community, presence, mutuality, peace, and justice. With global ministries, you and your congregation can share in God's mission by making use of weekly prayers and worship, hosting a missionary visit, engaging in Bible studies, participating in people-to-people pilgrimage trips, and discerning mission opportunities. In 2017, we celebrate launching the Caribbean Initiative, a special invitation for the whole church to engage in witness, education, and advocacy around the issues affecting partners in Cuba, Haiti, the Dominican Republic, Jamaica, Puerto Rico, Colombia, and Venezuela. Global ministries, sharing stories, building partnerships, taking action.
Alleluia! Christ is risen. Thanks be to God for the promise that love is stronger even than death itself. God's love is overflowing in Christ Jesus, who has been raised, not simply to get us into heaven, but to get heaven into us, and through us, into the world. We come to the moment of offering, which might also be understood as a moment of opportunity. It is an opportunity to say thank you for what this day means, like the 10th leper who, upon being healed, stopped and turned back to express his gratitude to Jesus. We have a chance to do the same. In the midst of our joyous singing that Christ the Lord is risen today, we can stop to display our overflowing gratefulness. Our gifts are a way to say thank you. It is an opportunity to proclaim what Jesus has promised us, that the kingdom of God has come near. When we offer our gifts, we are partners in the ministry that this congregation and our mission partners support, feeding the hungry, caring for the sick, sheltering the homeless, offering clean water, teaching the faith, and extending the welcome of Christ's table. It's also an opportunity, by our actions, to say that we believe that God has the ultimate claim on our lives and everything we have, that because of Easter, we have become stewards of the multicolored grace of God that overflows in our lives and through our compassionate and intentional actions overflows into the world around us. In this holy moment of giving, may we be motivated first and foremost by what we have received in the news of an empty tomb and seize this opportunity to demonstrate how much it means to us that he is risen indeed. The diaconate will now receive our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Please join me in prayer. With these tithes and offerings, O God, we dedicate ourselves to being the witness of Jesus Christ in our world. We recommit our lives and our resources to discovering the presence of Jesus around us and to work with his resurrected spirit to bring healing and new life to those in need. Amen. You may be seated.
scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Mark, chapter 15, verses 33 through 40. You can find it on page 54 in the New Testament of your pew Bible. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and when the centurion stood there in front of Jesus, heard his cry, and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome.
Our second scripture reading
is from the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Verses 16 through 20, found on page 34 of the New Testament. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." These are the words of God for the people of God. So, little question for the congregation and everybody. Ten Commandments was on last night with Charlton Heston. How many have seen or watched that last night? Have you seen it before? Okay, lots of you have. There's that iconic picture of Charlton Heston standing there with his hair kind of blowing, and he's got the Ten Commandments on the tablet. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Was he the first person to have a tablet that was able to download data off of the cloud? Now, that has nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about, but I thought I'd give you a little something to ponder in case maybe my message wasn't going to be so good. So something for you to kind of think about during this time period. Our scriptures this morning describe the death, the resurrection, and the talk with the disciples. All of the Gospels explain Jesus' death. Now, Mark is probably not the most thorough of them all, but he's deliberate in having us picture things that are happening as Jesus is upon the cross. He has his focus on what's happening above the cross, what's happening on the cross, and what's happening beneath the cross. So he describes above the cross that darkness came and the sky was violent. It was letting us know that what was about to happen was something cosmic. It's something that even creation is being interrupted. Something that had been told in years and years past. If you look at Amos 5, verses 18, the day of the Lord, woe is us, it'll say darkness will come, not the light. This was a sin of humanity going up against God. And just like something that's inevitable, it was about to happen. Now on the cross, he leads us to Jesus' prayer, which has the question, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now Jesus had always had a direct line to God. He had been able to talk to him whenever he wanted, but at the time he needed him the most, he felt like he could not hear God. The sins of humanity were so great that the separation between Jesus and God never made anybody feel so alone. Because remember, Jesus was not just dying for the sins of the people that he lived with at the time he was living. He died for all of the sins before, during, and after. It was huge, and he felt so alone. And humanity had turned our back on him. When asked if we could free him, they just said, no, no, no. So he was alone, but not for long. Now beneath the cross, you saw the centurion. And he heard Jesus take his last breath. And he said, surely this man was the Son of God. How God had changed somebody that was hardened. You see, centurions and the guards at that time were mainly Gentiles. And Gentiles were the furthest away from the Jewish faith, the religion. And a centurion was a hardened warrior, a hardened soldier. They had been to battle many times. So it's not like this is his first chance to see death. But he knew when Jesus took his last breath, his heart opened. And he knew that Jesus was the Son of God. Mark also makes us aware that in the temple, the curtain was torn in half. And what makes that interesting is that in the temple, there were only certain priests that were allowed to come close to the curtain. And only the highest of the highest priests could go behind the curtain where the Ark of the Covenant was. And he only did that one time a year. But at the time Jesus died, the curtain was torn open. And the pathway to God was now available to us. Because you see, Jesus had died for our sins. For all of our sins. Not just mine, not just yours, but for everybody's sins. And so, through Jesus' death, we got the curtain opened to follow God through the pathway. And the resurrection changed everything. You see, if Jesus had just died, that would have been the end of the story. But it wasn't. The resurrection allows us to understand that God is with us all the time. You know, if you look at the groups of people that witnessed Jesus after it, because there were no witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus, there were the angels that were the messengers. And out of all the Bible passages, and out of all the pages in the book of the Bible, the messengers may have said the 8 most important words that impact our life. He is not here, for he has risen. 8 words. He is not here, for he has risen. The angels got to tell the women that they should go forward and find the disciples. And being afraid, the women ran off, but they were also joyous in the fact that Jesus had been resurrected. And as they were running away from the tomb, they crossed his path. And when they saw him, they knelt down and he talked to them. And he told them that they should go find the disciples and where the disciples should go to meet him. Now, it's a little fact here that you may or may not like to know on this deal, but that's an important fact that he told the women. The women were the first ones to see him after he arose. Because you see, during that time period, women weren't to be trusted. Their word was of no value. There's a Jewish prayer during that time period that went on that said, "Thank you, Lord, for making me a Jew and not a Gentile, a dog, or a woman." Now, that was during that time, and that's not very nice, but that shows you how it was. But how important it was that the women were the first ones to see Jesus. And it also tells us it wasn't about us, it was about him. The disciples. After Jesus' death, they had to figure out what they were going to do. You know, am I going to go back to being a fisherman? What am I going to do? You know, I'm certainly not going to follow Jesus' lead because, well, I'll probably die. But when the women told the disciples to meet them, and they went and they saw him, their life became complete of what they needed to do. Jesus told them to go amongst the lands, to educate people of what he wanted, of how we should live, that everybody is welcome. And they did. And it may have been from prison, it may have been from various different parts, but they succeeded. Because you see, the resurrection changed everything. The resurrection lets us know that we have life. You see, now when you read the Bible, instead of worrying about that the Bible says, you know, this is life after death, the Bible teaches us that it's life instead of death, because the resurrection gives us that life. It allows us to do whatever we want to do. The resurrection will allow us to do that. So whatever you want to do, if you believe in the resurrection, you will be able to accomplish that, whether it's in this life or the afterlife. But you can accomplish it. Because it's not about life after death. It's about life instead of death. You see, Jesus' death was intentional. And it was more so in the fact that if you understand that Jesus never gives us a fair deal or talks to us in words about, you know, it'll be okay, just rub some dirt on it and go on. Jesus felt the same pain and had the same death as what we experience. So he is with us. He's there to walk with us each and every day. And the resurrection allows us to know that our life will be complete if we believe. At the end of Matthew, he says, "And remember, I am with you always to the end of all ages." God is with each and every one of you. He wants to be with you. He allows us to be with him. This Easter season, understand that God is with you and that he is great and that he has given you many things. And believe in the resurrection, for he is with you to the end of all ages. Amen. We extend that there's probably still some food left downstairs, so please stop downstairs, have a cup of coffee, and have something to eat with us and visit with people around that you may or may not have seen for a while. We appreciate you very much being here and celebrating this Easter Sunday with us. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us have our benediction. Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. The grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.